Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Toda, my dear. We are continuing our study of the book of Jude that we like to call the vestibule of the revelation, a very important and thought-out letter written to the Lord's sanctified ones.
You know, and a reminder that all of our past programs are archived on shofarministries.net.
They certainly are. And, honey, please ask God for his blessing.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, as evil encompasses us, our hearts and souls cry out to you. We think of how Lot was so awfully oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. So as your faithful bride, we confidently know just as you removed Lot before that judgment, you will also remove us from the soon coming judgment. For we are your family who stand on the promises foretold in your holy book. Bless this program and those listening today, and hear all their petitions as we continue to pray for the salvation of all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, any news?
Well, I do want to say that Andrew Brunson, who's an American Presbyterian pastor, who's been in Turkey for 23 years teaching, he was put in jail and has finally been released to house arrest, and actually served about 2 years in jail on false charges of spying and terrorism. His attorney, who is Jay Sekulow, feels confident a full pardon is forthcoming.
Well, let's pray that that is true.
Right, and the Iranian rial is falling big time.
Could Iran be ready to negotiate?
Well, those working behind the scenes suspect so, in spite of Iran's denials.
But we want to focus on Israel, because I understand bad things have occurred on the Golan border.
Yes. You know, not only does Israel continue to deal with the attacks from Gaza, in fact, 7,000 Palestinians terrorized the Gaza northern border just last weekend, with Hamas adding drones to the mix as well. And while all that is going on, the Golan border with Syria has now been totally seized.
Yeah, what's Israel saying about all that?
Well, they have made it known for a while that they could live with Assad's Syrian forces on its border because, well, in the past, they tolerated each other for many years. So Israel is claiming that it's okay because Syria's forces, well, they helped push out ISIS and other factions. However, what they are not telling you, and what we've been reporting for weeks, is that there are Iranian and Hezbollah forces fighting in the mix as well. But they are disguised as Assad's Syrian forces. Now, Netanyahu knows all about this. He did ask for Russian assistance, but was told there was nothing Russia could do at this point, even though Putin a few months ago assured Netanyahu he would help, or at least thought he could. But then, a few weeks later, decided to pull out all their Russian troops.
Yeah, so the U.S. hasn't tried to stop Iran either.
Well, if they did, it didn't work. I believe we're probably up there helping the Kurds in the north along with the NATO troops.
So Israel knows Iran is on its borders but refuses to openly admit it, claiming it's just Syrian forces.
For now. But obviously the truth is coming out. I mean, we know it. So let's pray for the innocent people that are living on these border towns, particularly in Kunitra.
Okay, we welcome all of your comments and end time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And soon we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are received with much gratitude. Any correspondence will automatically add you to our monthly newsletter list. You can also donate through PayPal or by clicking the Partner With Us button on the left side of our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching letters archived for your learning pleasure.
That's right. We just can't say that enough. Anyway, thank you, dear. So, as we like to do, let's give a short summary of where we are thus far in the book of Jude. And we do encourage you to go to our webpage, again, shofarministries.net, to listen. And you might want to even re-listen to, again, many of our programs.
Because this generation is very blessed, you know, to have that capability.
We are. And you know what? Even if you don't have a computer, well, the libraries do, and they are free to use. And if needed, the very helpful staff will show you how to use them.
And libraries, I believe, are handicap friendly.
That's right. No excuse these days. That is, if you really want to learn and to be more informed, the studying of God's Word is always one's choice.
Okay, Jude is addressing the called out ones.
Yes, and right off the bat, Jude says he was compelled to write about contending for the faith. Why? Because, and we know from the knowledge in Genesis 3, there are some possessing an evil seed, being already condemned, and they are ungodly men of old, who have crept in unnoticed. Or as Jesus said, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Why don't you read that in Matthew 7, verse 15?
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves.
So, Christians need to take that seriously. Mm-hmm. But often we forget to look for the wolves. And as well, you know, in Matthew 13, Jesus references them as the tares amongst the wheat being a metaphor for us. And we are his sheep, and Jesus is our shepherd. But there are ravenous wolves who have infiltrated the church, spreading untruths and thereby causing division and chaos amongst the true believers, diverting in any way he can from the Word of God.
Okay, so that point, you know, has been established.
We've established that. Amen. We also covered some of God's past judgments to draw attention to the fact that God does indeed judge, and used some detailed examples, as we will even see a few more today.
And he's not done yet.
Right. The big one's coming. In fact, we are already seeing, on a much lighter scale, of course, foreshadows of what the seal judgments will be like, as in strange weather patterns.
Yeah, what about that beautiful moon, that full moon on Friday night?
I know. We weren't really supposed to notice it so much in America, you know, as they did in Israel. But we saw that it did have an orange tint. And, you know, Joel 2 does reference that the tribulation will be preceded by a blood moon. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, we also talked about where the giants came from as laid out in Genesis 6.
Yes. Jude referenced them also as men of old, being around for a very long time and are still infiltrating us today.
No doubt about that.
You know, Satan has always wanted to corrupt the human race so that they would eventually take that mark and worship him.
And many will during the seven-year tribulation.
That's right. And actually, we are already seeing a foreshadow of that as well. You know, Satanism and Luciferianism is outwardly growing. It's not being hidden anymore. People are just turning themselves over to the enemy. You know, similar to how Nimrod turned himself over, even after knowing what happened during his great-grandfather's Noah's day. And by the way, the point in understanding what is soon about to happen is so unbelievers will hear you, receive the message, and then receive Jesus as their Savior, so to escape what is coming. And we showed last week how, according to Jude, Peter, and John in Revelation 9, that very evil entities will be let loose upon the earth as part of that final coming judgment. And we've read a couple times 2 Peter 2 And that, of course, gives us even more confirmation. This is truth, and it will happen as God says.
Hey, another example is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, mostly due to homosexuality, for it was totally accepted and encouraged, just like here in America and so many other countries, even Israel. Not yet accepted in all countries, though, like Russia, India, or the Muslim countries.
Bottom line, sodomy is very demonic.
And we left off last week in verses 8 and 9. This time, Jude uses the synonym dreamers for false teachers, because some do testify they had dreams or visions to purposely declare new false doctrines.
Well, that's what the good old Mormons and Jehovah's Witness do.
Yeah, and Islam too. And we know that has proven very problematic. On the other hand, there are some good, well-meaning people who assume their dreams are from God, but are sometimes deceived. And this is very popular among the signs and wonders groups. Just one example, and there are many, is where I read that a Christian had a dream that a tsunami took out the East Coast and would happen within a few months.
That was over 2 years ago.
And then when asked about it, he said God must have changed his mind because we all prayed. But that's just an excuse often given to justify rather than admit that the dream probably was not from God, but likely from the enemy. So to ridicule and to discredit the body of Christ, many really do sincerely believe their dreams are from God. But there are those who are wolves in sheep's clothing, who are sent among the brethren to deceive. And that's hard for us to believe because we want to trust everyone, especially when they say they are Christian.
You know, you test all dreams by the word of God.
That's right. All contradictions should be dismissed. But praise the Lord, however, there are the real God-ordained dreams that some of us have, but what is truly exciting is that many unsaved, particularly Muslim and Jewish people, are experiencing amazing salvation dreams and thereby accepting Yeshua as their Messiah, just as Joel 2:28 prophesied would happen in the last days.
Well, you know, that's a great end time sign for sure.
Well, you better believe it. So just be wise, because the devil is a counterfeiter, and deception is his middle name, and no one is above temptation. We also emphasized last time to use the name of Yeshua or Jesus when up against demonic forces, as well as speaking out loud the word of God.
That is your sword against the enemy.
And that brings us to verse 10, continuing in the same vein of these false, evil infiltrators who
speak evil of whatever they do not know and whatever they know naturally, like brute beast.
In other words, they act on animal instinct.
In these things, they corrupt themselves.
As in bestiality and idol animal worship. In other words, they act like animals on instinct instead of knowledge of God. And then verse 11.
Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the terror of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah.
Korah. Okay, here we see other times of judgment, as in Numbers 16. You know, we have been remembering past judgments over the last few weeks, but wow, this one had to be quite a sight in the days of Korah, which was for pure rebellion against God through Moses that started with Korah and his sons from the tribe of Levi, and then spread to 250 of the infamous leaders, and finally 14,700 that then fell down into the earth.
It just opened up like an earthquake and swallowed them whole.
So tell me, God hasn't judged before. You know, I think of 2 Peter 3, verse 4, as he quotes people in the end days who will say, oh, everything continues just like it has been from the beginning.
Not so.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about the way of Cain now. Hebrews 11 helps us out by saying Cain lacked faith in who God really was. And Genesis 4 says Cain was angry about doing the offering. And he really couldn't have known God to be able to lie to him about killing Abel, because otherwise Cain would have known God could see it all. So, to go in the way of Cain means one doesn't truly believe in who God is.
And then, and then there's Balaam.
Oh, yes. Numbers 22 through 24. He was once a prophet who would talk to God so easily. He made sacrifices using clean animals, showing that he understood proper requirements, but then became an apostate and tried to curse the Israelites. Therefore, we see Jude includes him in with the other apostates. We also see in Numbers 24, verse 2, that at one time, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon Balaam. And that's a big deal in the Old Testament. And as well, Balaam refers to the Lord as my God in chapter 22, verse 18.
You know, how sad that greed overcame him.
Oh, he resisted King Balak of Moab for quite some time, but eventually caved and then tried to curse the Israelites for money. But only blessings came from his mouth. You know, he should have left it alone right then and there and repented. But no. And this is the worst part. Instead, he went and told Balak how to make the Israelite men sin by fornicating with the Midianite women and eating their food that's been sacrificed to idols. That way, Balaam knew God himself would punish the Israelite men. He knew that. And yes, he did once again. God did judge those who sinned. He sent plagues that killed 24,000, as well as all the males who were left that had sinned as well. Then Moses killed 12,000 more men inside Media and their male children, only sparing the virgin females, and then brought them back to Israel. Obviously, there was a bad seed God did not want to spread. So anyway, I encourage you to read the whole account beginning in Numbers 22. But the bottom line, God does judge the people and is about to again. But anyone can escape it through the blood of Jesus. This is why I teach this kind of awful stuff, so that it will give you a heart and a burden for the lost to tell them really what's going to happen. So anyway, continuing with describing these apostates in verse 12, Jude says, these are spots in your love feasts. And that just means your family, friends, gatherings, you know, where food is offered and, you know, your get-togethers. But these are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, caring only for themselves. They are clouds without water, and I think of the water of the word, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, which means spiritually and soon physically, and pulled up by the roots. And that's done easily because there's no foundation. We all need a foundation. So, Jude makes it very clear there is no hope for apostates. And 2 Peter 2:20 confirms it too. I'll read it for you. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. Now that means overcome means that they actually deny Christ. And Jude goes on, excuse me, who is this? Peter. And then Peter goes on and says, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. You see, it was their choice to deny Christ and turn away. And that's the only unforgivable sin, because you're blaspheming. And then there's more confirmation in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away," and that means to apostatize. The Greek word is parapito. So if they deny Christ, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that draws us, and apparently he will not draw an apostate, one who accepts Christ and then openly denies him. Most people that know of Christ backslide, and maybe they have a foot in the world, but they don't always deny him. In fact, most don't. Who could? I'm a backslider, and I would have never even dreamed of denying Christ. And that's what we're talking about here. So what about you? Are you backsliding on the way to denial? Quickly return to Christ, your Savior. Read his word for strength and power over your enemy who wants to kill you. Wake up and do it right now. If you've never made him Lord over your life, come to him in humility, beginning down on your knees. Confess it all and invite him into your heart. Why are you waiting? That's only a fool's choice, because Christ suffered greatly and was crucified on the cross for you. He paid your entire debt for your sins. You know, he said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door," and that's of your heart, "and is knocking." He's knocking right now, so if you hear his voice, open the door. And he will come into you and will dine with you and you with him. I know you hear his voice as he's knocking right now. But it's very important to know that he won't crash it in. It's your move. So don't be a fool. You too can be the beneficiary of this love story. And it is a love story by Christ, written in his blood, on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Don't be a fool. Do it now before it's too late, because he really is coming soon. All the signs are here. He's given us many of them. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing in number 622. Yasei Adonai Panah V'lecha V'yasem V'ha Shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and will be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that peace, that true shalom. It's there if you want it. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. And keep looking up, and don't forget to pray for your president. He needs your prayers. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.